Welcome to EGM Live, the weekly podcast for Electronic Gaming Monthly magazine. This week, we share our impressions of the upcoming video game documentary, The King of Kong. We cover the week's new releases with a special look at Madden NFL 08. We have a new question of the week, and we bring you the second part of our interview with Lauren Lanning of Oddworld Inhabitants. Last week, EGM's Crispin Boyer talked to Lauren about Hollywood and games, but that conversation went on to cover politics and gaming, why Sony's losing the next-gen fight, and of course, the rise of the casual gamer. Let's get right into that as Crispin asks Lauren about how games handle real-life war zones.
I'm wondering just real quick how you feel about the way games handle political issues, because you have all these war games, none of them are really set in the Middle East, and then you had, you know, David Jaffe, who canceled his PSP game, which seemed like it touched on a lot of, like, it's basically about an invasion of America, and you can kind of go either way in the game. And I'm wondering, how do you feel about the way games handle political situations?
Well, I feel like they don't. Games are part of the, you know, I mean, the content is really what we're talking about. And in that respect, the content is a joke. The content is trumpeting propaganda lines. You know, how many games are there that's like, these bad terrorists came and did this, and now kill them all? I mean, it so makes me sick, because it so just perpetuates the lame perspective of be afraid, vote for us, keep us in power, be afraid. We'll handle you. We'll protect you. Just turn off your brain and be afraid. And, you know, when I see games that just say, kill the terrorists, I just feel like, you know, man, this is sheeple.
Well, it could just be, you know, it's just kind of the lowest common denominator. What people, most people just want to do in a video game is a shoot thing.
I don't disagree with that, but when you, and it's not like I'm out there protesting. I don't feel that strong, but you asked the question, right?
Yeah.
I think I go, you know, look, if we're going to make content that people are going to sit with, intelligent people are going to sit with, why don't we make it intelligent content? Hey, what a concept, right?
You ever play the game Fugitive Hunter?
It's like, I didn't. How was it?
It was terrible, but the final boss is Osama bin Laden, and at the end you get to karate kick him into a helicopter.
Oh, that's great. So let me give you an example right there, right? Now,
okay.
I'm not this crazy, like, you know, conspiracy guy or anything, but that just supports the cover story that we know is bullshit for anyone who's really paying attention. For example, last year the FBI came out and said, the truth is, we don't have any evidence linking Osama bin Laden to the 9/11 attacks. I mean, that's what they said, right? That's the FBI. Not one shred of evidence connecting them. That's the FBI in front of Congress having to say where they really are, what they really have. You remember the video where Osama bin Laden was admitting it and he was sitting in the cave with another guy?
Yeah,
that's not Osama bin Laden. It's been proven. Now they hold pictures up to that video. It's some other guy, you know.
Really?
It's who knows what happened there. But I know that what happened is not what most people believe would happen. It's just none of it makes sense. So when we perpetuate the cover story and just go, oh, in the last level, you get to beat the shit out of Osama bin Laden. That's like, you remember 1984?
Yeah.
Remember that? Who was the guy who was like the guy that they would have the 2-minute hate and they would show his face and you got to hate him for 2 minutes? There was a guy, you know, and he was the leader of the underground, right? He was.
Oh, yeah.
He was the Osama bin Laden, right? And every day they would have everyone gather for the 2-minute hate in like these common areas, and they would show that guy's face and they would show him saying something, you know, God is great or whatever. And then you got to let out all of your frustrations and blame him for everything that's wrong.
Right.
Yeah, that's Osama bin Laden. And I think that when content wants to start touching on those things, and we're going to put that in people's minds,
uh-huh,
we'll be a little more informed about it. We shouldn't just take the sort of company line, the propaganda line, repackage it, put it out there, and go, yeah, you know, here's your 2-minute hate, run with it. Because I think then what you're doing is you're just perpetuating the same bullshit. So I want to be careful to say I'm not criticizing game designers for this. Because it's just, you know, the game designers are rarely writing stories these days. They're largely, you know, jigsaw puzzles put together by marketing departments for different demographics that they think it'll appeal to.
Yeah, and even at the same time where there are games where you're fighting terrorists, the terrorists aren't really given a nationality anyway. So it's almost like this is what players want to do, but we don't want to do anything that's vaguely political because we don't want certain controversies attached to our game.
Yeah, so I look at that and I feel like, okay, you know, as a business endeavor, totally understand that. However, as an artist and as a human being who, when we invest our time as content creators, as entertainers, when we invest our time to make something, I don't want to make anything that keeps the world dumb. I like to make things, because I appreciate things, that make people think a little bit more. You know? Now, that doesn't mean I'm not going to make a totally violent game, because, you know, I'm absolutely capable. You know?
Right.
And maybe, you know, there'll be some surprises with what we're coming out, because it's not the quirky, you know, sweet odd world. But at the same time, if you're going to bring those, if you're going to use those topics, let's use those topics intelligently, and let's raise questions rather than just, you know, continuing what I think is really dangerous trends of people, you know, having the wool pulled over their eyes. So, you know, and the game industry is very much about making money. I mean, all industries are. And so I think it's kind of, when you see that everyone's afraid of terrorists, I think it's very bankable to say, hey, let's have games where you're killing terrorists. I remember I was at the gym in San Luis Obispo, and I knew these guys. I used to ride motorcycles with them, and they came up, and they were all guards at the prison, you know. And they came up, and they said, hey, Lauren, man, this is right after 9/11. Is there any games where we can shoot terrorists? And I was like, is there any games where you don't? I mean, come on, just look at the shelf, guys. Kill terrorists, almost everything. So, you know, I think that the medium has a much greater capability to bring us content that's closer to Apocalypse Now, right? There we have a war movie. Is it? Or is it a humanity movie that's really intense and we'll never forget, and it causes us to look at things differently? Full Metal Jacket, you know, I mean, there's a number of movies. They can be war movies, but they can actually have a message and not just be, guys, it was a lot of, well, we did really well today killing all those people, but let's not forget this is a sad moment because some of ours died too. I mean, that's just so hokey. You know, if you take something like, you know, a Schwarzenegger army movie or something, it's just going to be let's kill the bad guy. You know, so I tend not to believe in content. And this is just a sort of moral line. I don't believe in content where it says, let's just make someone so bad so that we then have a good excuse to do what we really want to do, which is kill them.
Yeah.
So I go, well, you know, come on, we can do better than that. Doesn't mean we don't want to kill people for fun, which is really, you know, a lot of what we do in games. But, you know, let's try and elevate that storytelling a little bit, and let's try and get something in there that makes it more appealing for thinking people. There are a lot of people that would love to play games if games weren't what they, for the most part, are today. You know? And the other things that are proving that, of course, is like the casual games on mobile phones and things like that. I mean, people love games. You know, you have game TV shows. You have Monopoly in the house. I mean, schools and parents and cards and Vegas. You know, gaming's a part of our lives as humans on this planet. Look at The Sims, right? Like, we have basically the virtual dollhouse. It has exploded. I mean, has there been a year in the last how many years where there hasn't been a Sims in the top 10 sellers for PC? And are those people buying them gamers? And here's an interesting example. Like, so they thought, well, Sims is this hugely powerful game. So an art school that we know said, let's do a contest. You know, we'll have the students have to come up with their own best Sim game. And they thought that would just, you know, they looked at the sales of The Sims. They said, Sims is the best-selling game. So let's do this for the students that are studying to be, you know, game artists and game creators and things like that. Well, they no one signed up. Why? Because the gamers aren't the ones playing The Sims. Well, why is that? Because it's the non-gamers playing The Sims. It's the hobbyists. It's the girls that want to dress things up. It's the women that want to relive and redecorate. And, you know, I mean, it's the fan clubs of Britney Spears. They're doing The Sims in every dress she ever wore. They're skinny.
Well, I get that. And plus, too, I mean, when The Sims first came out, everyone was playing it. Like, hardcore gamers, mainstream people alike. And then, you know, hardcore gamers are more into the flavor of the moment. Like, once their infatuation with Sims died down, they didn't quite keep up with every new game that came out. They all started feeling too similar. But, you know, like you said, I think the casuals are keeping up with it.
That's interesting, because what I witnessed was different. I didn't see hardcore gamers. I mean, at the company, I used to use our own company as a great gauge, right? Because almost everyone was a hardcore gamer.
Uh-huh.
And I would watch, and I would always be asking them questions. You know, what are you playing? What is that? None of them played The Sims. Not one. But that doesn't mean you're not right. It was just in my spectrum, I didn't see that. And I tried to play it, and I went, this is too slow. I'm not getting the interactions. I'm not playing.
Oh, see, I would have taken you for an experimenter. Done all kinds of crazy experiments on The Sims. That's mostly what we did. You know, we just found ways to torture them.
Yeah, well, I tried to get them laid. They wouldn't do it, so I got fed up, you know. I was like, okay, I bought her a pizza. You know, what more do I need to do?
This game's broken.
I told her she looked good, and I, you know, stroked her hair or something. I was like, oh, how do you get laid in this game? You know, so I didn't meet my objectives with what I was after. So I guess sim porn might have gone further with me, I guess. But, you know, but I think that's very indicative because there's a lot of people out there, and I talk to people all the time, and we're constantly, you know, talking with Hollywood entertainment people. And the desire to interact with game worlds is vast. I mean, it's vast. But the desire to act in what, you know, we're largely supplying as an industry for those people, for your TV audience, it just isn't that great. You look at it and they go, I just, you know, it's just about killing stuff. I mean, that's, whether or not that's true, that's the common perception amongst the mass market. It's just about killing stuff. And they don't go see movies that are just about killing stuff. They don't go see TV shows that are just about killing stuff. They want at least a good story with characters that they're connected to before they can go do that. Or they want to express themselves, right? So then we have, you know, The Sims. People are expressing them. Decorating the way they want. They're doing this and that the way they want. You know, and things where we have that now, you know, World of Warcraft. Within the universe and within what that universe allows, people are expressing themselves.
Well, that seems like that's the next kind of buzzword, the next frontier in gaming, because you've got PlayStation Home, you've got Little Big Planet, which is this game that people can play on PS3 and make their own levels, and then rate their own levels. So that's kind of like, game designers clearly see that as the next big thing, but it'll be interesting to see if they can, you know, capture that within gaming.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, Home, you know, I mean, I don't know. You know, I see that this is the idea, but I think the console is very much, you know, it's kind of a problem, you know, because no one's going to buy a console for one game, right? And the PS3 is not going to attract new gamers. It's just not going to. It's a hardcore gamer's game machine. They can make as many homes as they want or whatever. That price point is going to be too high, and the rest of the titles are not attracting people. When you go to Best Buy, those people are not moving from the movie section over into the game section. Those sections need to be more closely aligned in experience before we get more of the crossover of those users. Sony can do whatever they want to try and get the real casual gamer, real mass market gamer. It's not going to happen because they annihilated the possibility with the design of that system.
Whereas Nintendo went in the other direction and made it cheap and...
He's clever, huh? I mean, it was brilliant on their behalf. So they said, what is this experience really about? Where's the price point people are, you know, going to worry about? I mean, in many ways, it's like the PS3 is kind of like Final Fantasy the movie. You know, what happens when... really, what happens when one guy has too much influence and too much faith in himself and not enough, and doesn't listen to anybody? Well, that's what you get.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, give me one game developer who was advised on how they, you know, who was consulted on what's the best way to make a hardware system for game developers so that they can build better, more creative content faster. Well, that wasn't part of the process for designing the systems. And, you know, and that's going to hurt. That's going to hurt more and more and more. And I think we're going to see a resurgence in PC games, but not at retail. Because retail, I think, is largely, you know, is equally responsible for sort of annihilating a lot of the PC possibility. But what's going to happen is it's just going to be online. And people are just going to be more and more and more. You got, you know, Valve's Steam is growing at a huge rate. You know, 20% a year they're growing at. They got over, what, 13 million customers now on Steam?
Well, yeah, and I think that, too, is eventually, as digital distribution becomes more and more common, even among the consoles, it opens up, you know, avenues of new experiences where you could possibly, you know, maybe an adults-only rated game could be something they could sell because they don't have to worry about putting it in Walmart or something like that.
Exactly. And I'll tell you, as long as platforms are doing a $5 to $7 licensing fee, and as long as the development environments are so expensive, it makes it hard to justify the investment in finance and in time and energy. So there has to be a better way. And that better way is where we were focused. As a creator, I don't want to sit in their office and debate and negotiate based on how they have to have all this more money and their risk involved. We're going to do all the work, but they're going to have this because of the design of a system. You know, it has nothing to do with what we're bringing to the project. What we're doing has nothing to do with the rising costs. The rising costs are associated to a dysfunctionality within their industry, right? Granted, I mean, anyone could take any one of these statements I'm saying and they could pick them apart. You know, I'm putting everything in sound bites. So I could equally argue, well, you know, the assets have to be higher res, better textures, better looking, better lighting. That's costing us 3 times more than before. Sure, all of that is true. But the real big cost, it's in the code. It's in the localizations. You know what I mean? It's in the adapting to the multi-SKUs. That's where the huge costs are. And it's in building your tools from scratch every time there's a new console wave. And that's just crazy. I mean, it's just so inefficient. Microsoft's doing a better job. And, I mean, let's say for this generation, Wii is doing the best job. Microsoft's doing the next best job. At least they're still building off of the core libraries.
Well, yeah, I mean, at least Microsoft, they didn't, you know, well, that's what Sony's thing. Sony always comes out with this hardware from space, and ultimately developers, only certain developers can really use it, other developers can confounded by it, and you end up where we have now, where there's 360 games that run better than games on the PlayStation 3, that run smoother, and it's just because they're made for, you know, the Xbox, the 360, which...
At first.
Yeah, they're making it for that first.
It also had, you know, I mean, I have to admit, you know, I was never a big believer when I heard this whole cell death and why it's going to be better. It's like, that's an engineer's thinking process. Engineers do not make experiences that you pay to watch. They don't. You will never go buy a game because you know an engineer made it. You know, you want to know that that's at least in a package of entertainment. Tim Sweeney or, you know, down at id, Dom Carmack, you know, you believe in what they're doing. But you know they're not creating the content, they're creating the technology, right? So you know you're going to get a really good playing multiplayer game over the net that if, you know, Carmack was involved with it. You know that's going to happen if Sweeney was involved with it. But, you know, you're not going to go see a story. You're not going to pay for a story that they wrote. That's right. Not what they do, right? So,
well, even like, you know, even like the Doom games, they're not exactly known for their stellar storytelling.
Yeah, and they didn't need to be.
Right.
You know, like they functioned perfectly well as a blow shit away game. And, you know, so they had that room for survival. I mean, they hit that niche. They understood their market really well. But when you get into why we pay for a song, you know, why we pay for a movie, why we're willing to record a television show, we want to know that, you know, there's quality entertainment in there. And, you know, with some of the designers of these systems, that's just not an issue. They're looking at it from a purely hardware point of view. And you know what? That does not create content that people care about. And Sony is paying a huge price for that approach right now. And I think they did a really good, you know, smart thing in getting Kutaragi out of there, because it was just a curse to where they were headed. You know, they could have owned this market. They're not going to.
Do you think it was just like arrogance and this faith in their brand to carry them through, regardless of...
Well, I don't think it's a they. I think it's a he.
Ah.
You know, but from everything I know about the man who was in Japan, he doesn't listen to anyone. Mm-hmm. So I think what happened was that because of the success of the PlayStation, you have the sort of, you know, the savior complex. Well, this guy designed the PlayStation, so therefore, you know, let's put all the gold on him. Now, Sony's paying a huge lesson for... what in game development we call the man in a black box, which is what happens when a lot of companies, historically, you know, they think they have a great programmer, right? Okay, he's going to be the lead, but he needs to go away for several months and just write all this core code, and then he's going to come back and we just have to trust him, right? And they're banking their whole production on one guy in a black box, and they find out that guy didn't come through, and you're screwed. So anyway, you know, I'm not a big believer in these totally revolutionary steps in hardware that dismiss our tools, because if they dismiss our tools, then you're sort of being retarded about what it takes to create good content. And what it takes to create good content is iterations on tools that work, aside from having great ideas and great people to implement it. So when you just throw all that out the window and you say, oh, make new tools, you know, and yes, people are willing to go out and lay down hundreds of more dollars for a new console and get a game that's not as good as the game they just played on their previous console, well, I don't think that's going to fly. And it never, well, sometimes it flies, but you know, people aren't stupid when it comes to shelling out hundreds of dollars. You know, they usually are pretty stingy about how they spend it, and they want to know that it's actually adding up to the right value. And so far, people are having problems seeing that value, which is why when I go to the store, I still see boxes of the machines sitting there and not selling.
Hey guys, it's Michael Donahoe here, the news and features editor at EGM. I'm here with Jen Sal, managing editor, our reviews editor Greg Ford.
What up?
And our senior editor Crispin Boyer.
Morning.
And we're here. We're here to talk about
evening, wherever it is,
whatever's going down here.
It's midnight everywhere, somewhere.
Exactly.
So we're here to talk about King of Kong, A Fistful of Quarters, which is a new documentary coming out about Donkey Kong.
Oh, I always get psyched when the newest documentary comes out.
Me too. Especially when they're about big apes, because I like big apes. And so this movie is all about big apes and two guys who are actually trying to get the highest score in Donkey Kong. And the funny thing about it is, like, you kind of think about this movie and you're kind of like, whatever. I mean, it's two guys trying to play some, like, old crusty arcade game, like, who gives a shit, you know? And what's weird about it is, you know, even Shu, our editor-in-chief, our boss, he didn't even want to, like, we asked him, like, hey, like, there's this really cool story about this movie, about, like, what really went on, with, like, about this, these two guys trying to get the high score, and he kind of, like, put it aside, like, I don't really care about that.
I mentioned to do it last issue, the issue now, Halo 3, and he's like, man, forget that, we don't care about that.
Yeah, he, like, put it aside, he didn't give a shit, and then it turns out, we got a press screener, because... You know, we thought it was pretty awesome. Like, Crispin, like, brought it up to Shu. Was like, hey, you know,
Well, what happened was, I thought if we can't cover it in the magazine, we can definitely cover it on EGM Live. Because
yeah.
We have more space here. We have more flexibility.
We have room to breathe here.
I've already taken a nice deep breath. Yeah.
I've already taken my pants off.
So I requested the screener, and... I knew that nobody was interested in it on the staff, and so
we weren't doing a story, I was like, all right, well, I'll watch it later.
Yeah, it was sitting in your office for like 2 weeks. Yeah. I had my eye on it for a while.
And then
sitting underneath Ben and Josh or whatever that Game Boy band is.
Drake and Josh.
Drake and Josh.
Get it right, Crispin.
Sorry, God.
But I don't remember who, either it was Crispin or like Donahoe or even Mike Cruz. Somebody was like, I got to watch The King of Kong. And the
actually, it was me.
even better. None other than Greg Ford.
That's why I'm here.
The go-to guy.
About a month ago, we started sending like links to the clip, the preview clip, the trailer.
Right.
And like, I thought maybe you guys are kidding, but you got like, this looks great. And I'm like, I watched it. I'm like, it does. And then when I saw it on Jen's desk, I grabbed it. Like, can I take it this long weekend or whatever? You're like, take it. You know?
And it was like a slowly building rising tide, because then
it was like
you
a snowball effect, actually.
And then, then Crispin,
Greg told two friends,
checked it out,
and then told two friends.
And yep. Then before I knew it, the funniest thing was the screener had been gone for several weeks now, and people were like, we were suddenly clamoring for space. Like, we wanted more space in the magazine, and people were coming to me and getting more pages. And Crispin and I think we got in a little argument about it because we were like, he was like, well, have you seen the movie? Kind of like, how much space it warrants. And I'm like, no, because everybody stole my screener that I requested.
Because Shu saw the movie, and then he's like, all right, we got to do a story on this. So we kind of had to scramble at the last minute. But at first, I just wanted to do one page because I figured that's all it was really worth. But then once I started working on the story, and the whole setup here is the movie is about the movie makes it seem that Billy Mitchell, who a lot of you might know, he's got this dude, tall dude with a mullet, always wears red, white, and blue ties, seems really cocky. He's a Pac-Man champion.
He's a perfect Pac-Man player.
It's him against Steve Wiebe, who the movie portrays as like this lovable loser laid off from Boeing. Everything's going wrong. All his family and friends in the movie think it's like something could just go right for our buddy. And then he goes out and buys a Donkey Kong machine, and it's him against Billy, like... And where it seems like Billy's manipulating his friends to try and lock him out of getting the record, and Steve Wiebe is like overcoming the odds at every turn, but also, you know, getting shut down. So,
And Billy knows the referee really well.
Yeah, well, let's not give too much away because the reason we're here is that we want to hip everybody to this movie because I guess the point is that you might hear, oh, it's a documentary about an old arcade game and Billy Mitchell, that guy with a mullet, you know, who cares about him? And Steve Wiebe, I mean,
some science teacher.
Could there be any nerdier guy around? But the documentary is just really well done, and it really portrays this world of classic gaming as this den of drama and angst and
awkwardness
and lackeys,
social awkwardness,
and like the competitive side of classic gaming.
I think what's really good about the movie is the fact that it has like, you know, crystal clear heroes and villains. I mean, like you watch the movie and they like portray Steve Wiebe as this lovable hero, and like you root for him, you want him to win, and they do a really good job of making Billy Mitchell, whether or not he is an asshole, they make him out like he is, and you like hate him. So by the end of the movie, you're like, you want him to die, and like you're like rooting for Billy. I mean, not for Billy, for Steve. You're like, God, kick that fucking mullet dude's ass. Like, you're so into it, and that's what's so good about the movie was that, I mean, like I think that you could show this movie to someone who doesn't even like video games, and they'll like it because the characters themselves are so strong. I mean, and the funny thing is, Hollywood is actually going to make a live action movie. Like,
it's already live action.
Well, that's true. They're gonna make
it's not
a
claymation right now.
That is true. But I guess they're gonna
more of a fictionalized. I mean, yeah,
a retelling of the story with like actors, which kind of shows you that these characters themselves in real life are so unique and so like they're such good characters that Hollywood can like make a script out of this, which is bizarre.
With Johnny Depp's name thrown out for
Billy, yeah,
and Steve Carell's name for Steve.
Who threw out Johnny Depp's name?
Well, Steve Wiebe, the producers, Walter Day, everyone. Okay. Everyone seems. I mean, it's
people
not
actually
stretch.
Won't be making it, but
that's the kind of thing that Johnny Depp would actually get into, though.
Because if Johnny Depp is out there, he has to be on this. And
Jennifer will be so sold. Then.
I want the exclusive first interview with Johnny Depp about, you know, what went into the making of his character. But yeah, The King of Kong is just. It's a great movie.
Whether it's all true, you just wait till the next issue of EGM because we have a big story on it. So talk to all the people involved, see how much of the movie is real, how much of it's bullshit.
And that was probably, like, let's say, the most reporting per page that Crispin has had to do.
I'm just glad we got two pages for it in the end.
Yeah, so this story went from a non-story to a two-page story, cover mention.
To the biggest story in EGM's
editorial.
History.
I think because it really represents a lot of the drama that you would not imagine could go into video games, but we all know is there.
Everyone involved is nuts. That's
all yeah.
Which also crazy. Helps.
Yeah, I wonder what Miyamoto, creator of Donkey Kong, thinks about all this crap. He's like, look at these Americans fucking going crazy, like fighting over my game. It's kind of like
conspiracy theories.
As he like, you know, plays Wii Fit with his kids.
So The King of Kong opens in New York, LA, Seattle, and Austin, Texas, this Friday, August 17th. And it'll open wider the next couple of weeks. So it's definitely coming to a city near you. And the URL, if you want to check out more about it, is billyversusteve.com.
Tell people why you listen to DFW Radio.
Well, I don't have very many friends, but I already consider the GFW radio crew some of my better friends. They don't talk about a lot of the things that are important to me, hentai and anime like Inuyasha, the music of Kokotaki-san, but they do know their computer games. Lol. Is that good?
Wanted to tell the folks where they can get the podcast.
I can get mine from gfwradio.oneup.com or podcast.oneup.com, or you can also get it from iTunes Music Store.
Hello and welcome to the EGM Review Crew. This is Greg Ford. with my esteemed colleagues, Brian Intihar.
Hello.
Previews editor for EGM. Wow.
The legend. Well, not really.
No. I heard we got a new previews editor.
I do, yeah. I insulted you. So he fired me, I think, for the 20th time in the last 2 months.
Yeah. But now, for a special guest, though, we got Todd Zuniga, the 1UP Sports Game guy.
Breaking news! Breaking news!
Whoa!
An anomaly listener in the house.
Okay, and that's our final member here, Andrew Fitch.
Yes, I'm intimidated by all these jocks here.
As you should be. All right,
we're wearing our fucking football pants and jerseys.
A little background. We had Andrew on a couple weeks ago to talk about Persona 3.
Yeah, a couple of the nerdy things.
Right, right. And actually, that's coming out this week. It got pushed back after we had taped that.
Yeah, some like art book snafu or something.
Right, and I don't really care.
Well, a lot of people do.
But during that segment, you called Todd out saying, like, I could take on the sports game guy. I should be on the show. I'm better than him.
I don't know if I went that far.
I believe he did. I didn't listen to it, but I think he did.
I'm untouchable. Untouchable.
You didn't listen to it?
No, I didn't.
I don't listen to that because unless I'm called out very specifically, my ears don't
ironic.
Perk up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I gave the background because I didn't know if everyone knew. But yeah, so you claim to, like, as much as you're a nerd for RPGs, you also are a sports nut, we'll say.
Not as much as I used to be, just because I don't have as much free time. But yeah, I mean, I actually first went to college to become a sports writer.
Nice.
Wow.
Cool. But so how come you say that you could, I don't know, what did you say? You'll outdo Todd? You can challenge Todd?
I believe I said that my sports knowledge would stack up with his.
Nice. I can't wait to see that. That'll be fun. We have a quiz, right?
We do? No, we don't.
No.
All right.
Let's just say this. Would you have ever stumped the Schwab?
I don't know if I've stumped the Schwab, but I'm just going to give you some softballs real quick.
Do you even know what I'm talking about?
The Schwab, Berman.
No, the ESPN.
The Schwab.
Brian knows what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, Chris Berman.
No. Schwab. See, I already beat you. Well, all right, 1-0.
That's not even sports related.
It is sports related.
Breaking news!
It's on ESPN.
What is the Schwab? Who is the Schwab?
It's a trivia show. It's hosted by Stuart Scott on ESPN a couple of years ago. I'm not sure if it's still on, but I considered actually applying for that. But
I like right. it. I
so
like
you
it.
Know, like when I say 56, you know what that refers to, or when I say, you know, I don't know, what other numbers? What other numbers?
Like 755.
755 is a count.
The fraud? Yeah,
then
yeah. 56 right. by Joe DiMaggio, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously.
What's your best sport?
You can't even answer that question.
Wow.
1-1! Breaking news!
A softball.
Come on.
You couldn't even answer.
The casual sports guy is back.
Yeah.
Because, like, baseball, football, they're sort of tied up, you know?
Yeah. See, a real man would take one side and go with it.
No, I'm not like you.
I've got hockey. I've got English football.
English football.
Is that what they call it? Football.
Yeah, I follow soccer a bit.
Track and field, that's my specialty.
All right, and we'll talk about track and field later, actually. All right, but we got to get started, though.
Fuck
you
that.
Can fight off
that's
camera, fight off mic.
Yeah.
But let's get to the – and actually, we brought all these sports guys in, Fitch kind of included, because this is Madden release. Madden NFL 08 comes out this week. Oh, everyone's excited. This is kind of the unofficial kickoff to the fall, like, video game big-ass season. So let's talk about Madden a little bit. Guys, is it good or bad? What do we get this year?
I mean, I'd say I've been pretty down on Madden the last couple of years. I mean, I've, you know, had the point where I think the developers actually have, like, wanted to string my neck during demos when I kind of shake
string
my
it? Like, put string through
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
That's like, serious.
And,
voodoo shit.
And, like, basically just wring my neck at half the time because I would shake my head during demos. But this year, I have to say, I got really excited during our first demo, and it's only grown. I'm really happy with this year's game. I think it's, I mean, people would say, well, it took them 3 years to get there. Well, all right, it did. And guess what? It's still pretty damn good. It's a really good video game.
Well, this is coming from a guy who's gotten the last 3 years of games for free. But for those people that spend $180, they're a little ticked. But no, I think this is an awesome representation of football. I think it's the best Madden, I would say, since 2004. But I honestly think it could be argued as the best Madden going. I mean, I have some problems with it, but as far as, like, getting in there and it feeling like football and it looking like football, I'm really, really impressed.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I mean, the major thing is this year they have this thing called the icon, like, weapons feature. Well, basically, you might think of it as just, oh, it's like these little on-field icons that really just tell you like who's really good and what they're really good at. But if you take it to the next level, you'll actually see the player start to differentiate themselves. Like, so if you have a running back like Reggie Bush, who's really like the elusive back, he plays much different than Larry Johnson. I don't think it's...
Who's a power back.
Yeah, who's a power back. And now, obviously, their numbers would differentiate before, but now you actually, when you're playing these guys, it's different. And then they take it to the next level. So, like, smart players like Peyton Manning, Ed Reed, you know, they actually have this light bulb icon. So it signifies that they're a smart player. And as the game progresses and they play better, that light bulb will fill up. And eventually, you can activate it. So if you're on offense or defense, you can actually read the other person's play. And it doesn't happen so much that it almost feels like an arcade-y
thing. Not that smart. They're still football players.
Exactly. Exactly. So, I mean, it's just, it's a, compared to the last couple of years where they had the vision, precision passing, and the superstar mode, which were ideas that were really good on paper, right, but they were really poorly executed. This is something that basically you don't really have to be involved in, but at the same time, changes the gameplay a lot. So right, for me, that's a big thing. And obviously, the 60 frames a second on 360 is really big.
It's very big, yeah.
If you haven't seen the difference between, you don't think that's a big difference, go to gamevideos.com. Type in Madden comparison, and you'll see the video between PS3 and 360.
Yeah, it's really noticeable.
It's very different. Actually, I reviewed the game for 1UP, and by the time we air, that'll be up. I actually rated the PS3 version 0.5 lower because of the frame rate. Like, so it does make a difference.
Yeah, the one thing that I would say for EGM listeners is, if you don't know football, don't jump into this and think you're just going to start dominating. You have to know football almost to a fault, I think. But, you know, if you play on pro, you're going to have a good experience.
Yeah.
But when you're ready to step it up, if you go to all pro, it feels like real football. You can't make stupid passes over the middle. They'll get intercepted.
Yeah.
You have to mix up your plays. You have to run to the inside, outside.
That's the one thing beyond, you know, the features thing. They've really, like I wrote something like, it's a bit of a smarter brand of football.
Yeah.
Little things like quarterbacks now scramble when they're pressured. Guys continue their blocks down the field. It's really hard to throw the deep ball. Like, you have to really either fake them out or really read how they're lined up before the line of scrimmage. On play action pass to the goal line, you'll actually see the running back continue with the fake and jump over the pile. Little things like, if you're like in the middle and you want to get through with your running back will actually push the offensive lineman forward.
Yep.
And they even, like, another great thing is they actually make them look dumb at the right times. If you're playing in the rain or in the snow, they'll actually slip. Like, they will slip while they're running or trying to tackle.
I thought the NFL had like a problem with that.
You know what's weird? I thought they did too, but I guess they're kind of loosening a little bit, because I mean,
they don't like when kickers slip.
You know what? I heard it does happen. I haven't seen it, but I heard it does happen.
I
don't know. I mean, those little things, I mean, obviously we're all going to say, you know, the one thing they still haven't done really well is online. I mean,
right,
there are, like, it does, like, we've played it online. It runs fine, and like, they have this cool little extras, like they have this NFL news tab where you can kind of get, you know, read about all the articles and like all ESPN clips. Like, I caught up on all the Brady Quinn stuff. You know, I'm a Browns fan, and I caught up because the day that...
Wow. This wicked new invention called a computer. You can do all that shit right there, a laptop.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, if you're playing Madden, you can just... I mean, it's something small, but I think it's kind of cool. So, I mean, the online leagues are still something I really want.
Yeah.
But, I mean, overall, I mean, this is a way better football game than they've made in the last
couple
years.
You know what I really love about it is the announcing. No, the announcing is shit.
I have to agree with you. I mean, I think, you know,
I thought you didn't agree with him.
At first I was like, you know, it's okay, it's okay. But like, after hearing NHL's commentary and playing games, I'm like, you know what? It needs to be two people.
Now,
it
does. Who do they have on Madden?
Brian Entire's little brother.
They don't have Al Michaels?
That's it.
Well, no, like what happens on the X-Gen versions, no Al Michaels. They have some guy who's like basically a radio dude who's like pretending he's like the radio guy for your home team. So he's calling the players by their first names. Yeah, honestly, I forget. I don't even know. He's not really known. And you have Ask Madden, he'll say stuff which means nothing when you
ask. You got to go to the thing. Let him over now.
I really think they should either bring back Madden, Michaels, or try
to... Summerall.
Summerall,
God. Great.
What a yawn fest. That guy was the worst announcer ever. I thought it was the tryptophan or whatever in the turkey on Thanksgiving. It was that dude. That guy is so boring.
But I mean, something like that. Still the fame. You know, I mean, but overall, I mean, that's a kind of minor complaint, I think.
Yeah, it's a minor complaint. I mean, if I could change anything, or if there's anything they could do that isn't done, it's that defense isn't fun yet. So I'm really...
That's a cross, I guess. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's not that bad. At least I know, though.
But no, but it's not fun. And I'll compare it to, like, maybe MVP from years ago when they made pitching fun with that pitching meter they brought in. And, like, that was the first time I actually enjoyed pitching, because it was a game within a game. It was satisfying when you pulled things off.
Right.
If you made a mistake, it was your own fault.
See, here's the thing. Yeah. I think the key is, people are going to say, when does defense become fun? I agree. I mean, it's definitely... the less of the two. I mean, you know, you're not going to have as much fun.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Touchdown.
But, like, do you start playing, make the defensive line the key thing and then make it really easy to sack the quarterback? I mean, because that's, like, it's your play. It's a
no,
really
not easy,
know,
but
I want the camera in a position where I feel like I am that defensive player. Like, if I'm, because the problem is the screen, even with a wide screen, your wide receivers and your cornerbacks are way off the screen, so you can't even see them. I mean, I want to see the play. I want to know, like, what the situation is.
And fair complaint.
If I, you know, playing cornerback's probably the most fun because you get to track one guy. If they throw it, you bat it down or intercept it or get beat. But to me, there's not that option. It's, you know, you're kind of off the screen with the guy you're controlling. You're hoping the guy is doing a certain route. You don't know.
Now, if you knew how to play Madden, what you would do is you rush the quarterback, and then as soon as the ball's thrown, you press B, it takes the play, control of the guy near the ball.
He's touching Todd's knee.
And then now you press Y to knock the ball down. You don't have to do anything else, big guy.
Oh, that sounds really fun that I can just, I don't have to do anything except hit a button and then hit another button. That sounds fucking classic.
You know what? Do me a favor.
Wow.
Don't try to cover
somebody.
Go try to cover somebody on wide receiver. You play defense back. I'll be the wide receiver trying to cover somebody.
This is like that argument you had that marathon running is the greatest sport because how tired you are after 24 miles. I don't want to hear this.
Yeah, no.
26 miles.
Whatever. But, you know, once again, the casual sports guy has the wrong.
But no, because I can't play defense with a guy off the screen
properly.
You
can't play defense, period.
You breaking behave.
No. But I agree with Todd, though. It's the defense isn't fun. You hate being on defense.
First of all, I don't think the defense is not fun. I think you're totally wrong.
What position do you always take?
You're a total butthole.
I either play defensive end or I play defensive tackle or I play safeties.
Okay, right. Safeties? Why? Because they're in the screen.
And they roam. What's
wrong, and you can see the play. You don't have
any specific
assignment.
I'm smart enough and good enough that I can switch to the player nearest to the ball. I'm like, you can't. Sorry, Super Sim.
Smart
That's what I'm calling you. Todd Super Sim.
Yeah, by the way, for all those out there who hate playing defense, like normal people, you can Super Sim past it, so it just kind of blazes through.
Yeah.
I don't agree with that, though. You shouldn't skip
I agree, because it takes you out of the game.
Super Sim, Zuniga.
Super Sim.
All right. Okay, that's good. And now let's try to move away from this. You guys are far too riled up. But, Brian, can you talk briefly about the Wii version? Is that worth picking up?
What's
the word on that?
Here's the thing about this game, Madden for Wii, is not made for anybody over the age of 11. I'm just sorry, it's not. I mean, it is.
Basically,
what they do is they have these. They've realized that this is the market's different for Wii. There's younger kids and grandmas, I guess. And so they've created these controls called
grandmas under 11.
Family play or whatever. Basically, moving all the functionality of the nunchuck and doing everything with wiggling and waggling the Wiimote. So you're really
is that
not,
any fun?
You're really not playing it. My thing is, I think some people who are new to Madden and like are young, you know, like. People are like, oh, well, I like football. I'm young. I like football. I don't really know how to play those, you know, all the different, you know, with the controller on 360 and PS3. They might want to try it out. But like, anybody who's played Madden for a couple of years is never going to want to pick this up.
But the graphics are still like the semi-realistic graphics. It's not like
they're
cute
mice. Yeah, like I said,
they
should really do it up. They should.
Fumble.
Todd just fumbled his phone. and I really think they should change it up even more drastically. Like, I don't think the game completely knows exactly where it wants
to be. That's the thing. It's like they said they want to be, you know, more friendly to the casual player, but like it still has the playbook.
It has online now. I mean, like, yeah, it's great.
Well, I mean, that's a good thing.
That's great, but I mean, like, how many young kids are really going to go online and play this game with no voice chat? I mean, it's just weird.
All right, so you're saying it's not for sports fans like us.
It's not for the hardcore. It's someone who's like really young, who like the kid who like sits there and watches football with his dad and wants to say, "Oh, I want to play as Tom Brady now," and goes and wiggles the freaking remote.
So you should buy the 360 version then if you're a
there's not a doubt you play buy the 360 version no without a doubt
now
I think it's the best.
I'm the kind of person who like got into Madden like for a few years ago, but I every year was just way too similar. I mean, what specifically are they doing now that they weren't doing in like 2005, 2006?
I think the big thing is that they're smarter.
Yeah.
The game just runs a whole lot better. Mm-hmm. I mean,
just the way the players move on the field
is deeper.
Better.
I mean, like, if you're a big franchise guy, there's a huge
Are they still doing the hot dogs and all that stuff?
No, you don't actually change the price of this stuff anymore now.
Yeah,
and, like,
I think
the in-season recruiting. I mean, in-season
scouting. You lost me at the hot dogs.
So, I mean, like, that kind of stuff. I just think from a pure gameplay perspective, it is so much better than the last two editions. Like,
I mean, the fact that Brian is so excited, and he's been playing it for every year. You know,
I've been playing since day one, and like I actually was lucky enough to get the final box copy about a week before the actual game came out. And anybody
look at me. I'm right in God.
What I'm saying is, a lot of the time you review a game, you're like, all right, I need a break from this, from playing it so much. But I've continued to play it a lot, and that's a good sign for me to know that, okay, this is really stepping it up this year.
Right, right. Okay.
I just want to say to Brian that he complains so much about every Madden that it is hard to even be around you. And this is the only year I've ever been able to be around you. The only calendar year. No, but actually,
not so jaded.
I will say that you are a fucking... I don't want to cuss. It's the EGM thing. This is like younger people.
Yeah, probably.
Sports Anomaly is 70 and up. But yeah, you are such an angry dude. But when you play Madden this year, you're happy. Unless you're losing. And then you like start punching
stuff
and crying.
You know what? I'd say I'm actually a much happier sports gamer this year because there are a lot of good sports games.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's an impressive season.
NCAA, Madden, from what I've seen of NHL, I mean, you know, I've seen
the Bigs.
NBA Street Home Court. It's been a better year for sports games. I still think the baseball sims pretty much stink.
All right, well, but so do you. So
The Konami's just announced that Power Pro.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Actually, I was
Revolution
I was
Soccer.
No, Power Pro.
You are so not the sports.
Exactly.
Guy.
I was actually disappointed you guys didn't mention all the Sports Anomaly. Konami's
the Power Pro baseball. Yeah. You know, the oversized heads.
Which I've played. It's actually a very good sim. So they can't do it without
the breaking news.
They can't do it
breaking
without
news.
Broke some news on
without 2K as publisher, but they struck a deal with 2K so they can have all the players and bring it out here. Little shaky about the localization because I played the Japanese version and there was like an English language play-by-play that just clearly wasn't translated very well.
Nice.
Hopefully they'll like have 2K work on that.
I hope so. But yeah, awesome. Why not? I bet you'll be better than the other baseball sims out there.
By default, it's going to be the best game out there.
Thank you. I knew I brought this guy on for a reason.
All right, so we're going to move away from sports now.
That's where I exit. I have to go eat a sandwich.
All right. Thanks for stopping by.
All right, it's 1-1. I'll see you again.
All right.
Bitch.
Our duel will continue.
All right, so moving on. All right, so Madden, that's for 360, Wii, PS3, everything. But for PS3 and Wii and 360, that's the only thing coming out this week. PS2, we already mentioned Persona 3.
It's not coming out for PS2?
It is. I didn't write it down, though. But I'm saying in terms of other releases besides Madden. And what is that? Metropolis Mania 2?
Yeah.
That's it for PS2. PSP, we got Dungeons & Dragons Tactics, which none of us played, so we're going to keep moving on. We're going to go to DS, where we have... we got Madden again. We got Rune Factory, Fantasy Harvest Moon. We've talked about Harvest Moon far too much.
Isn't there,
on this
Harvest
podcast.
Moon game every week or something?
It might be the same one. It keeps getting
it's
pushed.
It's hot.
I don't know, but... Operation Vietnam. But then a couple of RPGs, both of which Fitch...
Well, no, they're not... I wouldn't say they're RPGs.
Ooh, he just called you out.
Oh, shit.
Mr.
Oh.
Reviews Editor, reading the text that well. Oh, yeah.
That's right, yeah. When it comes to any RPG... No.
One of them is real-time strategy.
All right, why don't we talk about that? So, Heroes of Mana.
Yeah. Heroes of Mana. See, I'm kind of pissed that Jeremy isn't here because Jeremy gave this a 7.5, and I'm...
Genius.
I give it a 5.5. I'm still not sure where Jeremy...
I agree with Jeremy. Whatever he said, I know is right. what is this? This is like real-time strategy?
Yeah, real-time strategy. Sort of like... This is for like a different audience than like Command & Conquer and that sort of thing. It's sort of like my first RTS game. So, there was a similar game that came out early summer called Grim Grimoire, which is a lot better for a lot of reasons. Like, one, the gameplay is a lot better. Two, it's rated everyone plus 10, but it has implied lesbianism. So, yeah, that got perking up. Yeah, I'm still not sure how that got an E10, but so I mean the problem with Heroes of Mana is that the pathfinding is really terrible. Like you want to control your units and get them across the field, but you know if you tell them to go a certain place and they end up running into someone, they'll just stop. They'll stop right there. They
it's amazing that still happens in these games. Like that's always every RTS game review I've ever seen. It's always pathfinding. It's always a pain in the ass.
It didn't happen in Grim Grimoire, which is...
But isn't that like a 2D game, though?
Yeah, it's 2D. But still, I mean, why can't you have that in this game? Why? Because it's 3D. Do you have to have them run into each other?
I agree.
It's like,
it's a fair question.
I mean, you're trying to...
The Fitch has spoken.
Exactly. 5.5, believe it. But,
All right, so nothing too special about it then.
No, I would say if you can find Grim Grimoire and you have a PS2 and you have a DS, definitely pick up Grimoire instead. I think it kind of got a...
Right, and who doesn't have a PS2 these days?
Yeah, yeah. I think that Greg and Ray, who were also on Grimoire Review, they didn't quite give it a...
It seems like you're saying that you're always right. But you ever think that maybe these other people are more right than you are?
No, I would say that everyone is right, but I'm more right than they are.
I like that. I like it.
Usually.
All right, so what about Luminous Arc? What do we need to know about that?
Luminous Arc, either of you guys played like Final Fantasy Tactics?
No.
Yeah, I'm terrible at
it. You're terrible at it? Well, imagine Final Fantasy Tactics, the biggest Final Fantasy Tactics ripoff, but bad.
Ooh.
Is it
like a Rough Trigger from Ratchet to Rough Trigger?
Yeah, I would say. Well, I wouldn't. No, it doesn't have. Does it have freeze? Maybe it does. But
we can only hope.
But yeah, I would say that it's not quite on that level from based on what I heard about Rough Trigger. But it's. I
love that damn Rough Trigger.
I gave it a 6, so you know it's slightly above average, and it has a few wrinkles in it.
That's a more traditional RPG, right?
No, it's a strategy RPG, so it's like Final Fantasy.
Once again, he hasn't read the reviews, people. So if you see that text in that EGM, Greg probably hasn't read it.
Oh no! At least I still have a job, Brian.
Oh, that's right. I got fired today. Actually, this is my last podcast, apparently.
Oh, that's like one song.
Oh man, I'm getting fired. So,
what's with the name though? Luminous Arc.
Yeah, it's like an arc that's luminous, basically.
I like that. I like it again.
I didn't read that part.
Yeah, very literal. And,
I mean, that's another problem with it. It's like it sort of focuses on like a church. I'm not to spoil anything, but let's just say that maybe it's evil. You know, maybe it's like plotting.
Spoilers.
Like, well, I mean, come on. I mean, yeah. you know,
you come on.
At the beginning of the game, you know, you go out to hunt witches, and you know. Whenever, anytime, you know.
So basically, the most generic role playing story possible, it's here.
I wouldn't say it's the most generic, but it's,
it's
the most
there.
The most rip offish.
Gotcha.
Strategy RPG I've played since Final Fantasy Tactics.
And you've played them all.
We've hit two extremes: Madden. And I mean, we're hitting extremes here.
Oh, I did want to say like. If you have both a PSP and a DS, and you're thinking this Luminous Arc, you know, you think it's gonna be like Final Fantasy Tactics, you know, it's got this great story with this this church, you know, get something based on like a real life evil church with Jeanne d'Arc a couple weeks from now.
I love my church based games. They're typically the best.
That game's much better.
Breaking news.
I'm sorry, I overheard somebody talking about church based games right after Madden, so I had to come back on and say, what the F is going on in this podcast? What do you guys talk about?
Go back and read eat your sandwich.
I already ate my sandwich. Now I want to understand a church game.
That's huge.
There are a couple of church-based
breaking
games.
News. First person to even leave and come back. That's huge.
That's the most breakingest news ever. Back, exactly. All right, I'm going to sit through this next review.
Like a true athlete.
Okay, yeah. You go. I'm going to sit through this next review.
And now, so we're done. We're done with the DS game. Is that all you want to say about them?
Yes, please.
I just wanted to make sure to get in Jeanne d'Arc there. You know, because
Jeanne d'Arc.
Because some people might confuse the two. Jeanne d'Arc is the good one. Luminous Arc is the mediocre one.
So of the Arc games,
you wouldn't think PSP games haven't been so stellar on the RPG.
Right, and I remember you did mention that in your review.
Yeah, well, some people might not have read it. Some people maybe only get their EGM from the podcast. And for those that do, ignore Luminous Arc, get Jeanne d'Arc.
If anybody's not getting their EGM, that's blasphemy.
Well, yeah.
Buy it, goddammit.
Well, yes, buy it, exactly. Have us all get more money.
All right.
Yes.
And then finally, a quick overview on the recent downloadable games. We have Track and Field for Xbox Live Arcade. Do you guys have any fond memories about that?
Love that game.
Bang button.
Love that's it.
Right. Right, so that's a good one.
Have you played it on the arcade? Is it the same thing?
It is the same. It's an arcade port, yeah.
God, I'd love that game.
You probably do. I haven't played it myself. Then we also have, for the virtual console, Wave Race 64, a good game.
Which is very cool. Again.
I like that. Adventures of Lolo. It's like a strategy game.
Yeah,
well,
it's like a puzzle-y. Yeah.
And Galaga 90, which I hear is great.
People
and and that's it for this week.
I'd say I loved having Andrew Fitch on the
especially
because
he's already asking to come on again.
I like
A couple of we'll have a teaser. A couple of weeks, me and a certain someone from EGM are going to throw down.
Never tease yourself again, okay?
I like it.
Not allowed.
Yes, no, he's allowed to.
Right.
He's allowed to.
And with that, we're going to wrap up the EGM review crew for this week. Thank you, guys. We'll see you later.
Hey, it's Jennifer Tao, Managing Editor of Electronic Gaming Monthly, and I'm here with Michael Donahoe, News Editor and Features Editor.
Hey.
And Mike Cruz, assistant art director.
Hey, I've got more energy than Donahue.
We have almost today. No energy because we finished deadline and it's just like everything
energy
just goes
zap.
Out the window slump.
I don't know about you guys. I mean, I was able to take a few naps since deadline.
I need to take a nap.
I watched two Bruce Willis movies and one of them like made me really depressed after watching it. So I was like, oh man.
I should be depressed. I watched Mission Man Band. And the pickup artist, I should be depressed, but
whoa.
Why did you get depressed by a Bruce Willis film?
I watched 12 Monkeys and it was,
oh, yeah.
And like it was just kind of a downer. I thought it was gonna be like a nice science fiction. I didn't really know much about it, and it was just kind of like, man, that's really happy. Not so much. But then I watched Die Hard with Vengeance, and I'm like, oh yeah, that movie's really good. So it picked me up a little bit, but like a couple nights ago, I was just like, man,
I'm depressed now.
Yeah,
thanks.
Sorry, dude. I'm depressed if no one gets this question right this week. Cause
well,
after last week's debacle, I'm losing faith that
well,
Raiders
you have nothing to worry about because
I hope so.
I'm happy to announce
someone got it right.
That no, Mr. No. Juan Manuel,
holy fucking shit,
one up user, the supreme powerful one, and that's the numeral one.
Wow,
he knew that. Pac-Man world champion.
Video game player of the century.
Billy Mitchell. When he gets a high score, he enters in the three initials. USA!
USA!
USA! USA!
Oh my god, where did that come from?
Man, I feel like some Hacksaw Jim Duggan came out or something.
Totally
oh!
I'm picturing Billy Mitchell in his awesome tie right now.
Yeah.
And yeah.
By the way, guys, if you haven't seen King of Kong, we've already said this 1,000 times, you have to see the movie because in the scene where he describes why he puts USA in his initials, it's really funny.
It is a touching moment of patriotism.
It will go down in film
history. Egotism.
It's deep. It's very deep.
It's deep.
And I also want to take a minute to plug an upcoming story that Crispin Boyer did in the EGM that will be there in like, I don't know how many weeks. A
Yay.
Long time, but the one we just finished, The Reason We're So Tired, where he interviews Billy Mitchell and gets his side of the story, and we have an awesome illustration for that.
It is really awesome.
It includes Billy Mitchell's tie, his USA tie.
It's so patriotic.
USA! USA!
Okay,
USA!
Once was enough.
Oh, okay.
Jeez, thank
Mike.
You.
Your patriotism is off the charts today.
Like you're going to interrupt
you
my
nap?
You need
to bring it down to a Canada level.
Canada.
So Juan, congratulations. You're the winner. Michael Donahoe has some fabulous prize.
Wait, why wasn't it Supreme, what's his name, Supreme Commander?
Supreme Powerful One.
Supreme Powerful, the one.
Well, why wasn't he Supreme Powerful One? I don't.
That's a.
Ah, you totally.
Dude,
you're
come
just
on,
too
man.
Creative.
Oh,
yeah.
He blew it.
You blew it. Actually, that's not a cinema prize. Now that I think about it.
Numeral
don't
one.
Don't joke about that, Donahoe.
Okay, fine. You'll get a prize.
something
good.
And since I know that I can hear the sound of a million hearts crushing across the land who didn't win after entering the correct answer for Billy Mitchell's handle, we have a new question, of course. Every week it's a new, fresh opportunity to win.
What were some of the incorrect guesses?
Yeah, I was going to say.
I'm thinking ass.
God. Because if I didn't know Billy Mitchell, I mean, if I didn't... But I know he's egotistical.
What would you say?
I would say God. Because I think Billy Mitchell thinks he is God.
I would have said T-I-E. That would have been my
That's
yes.
what I
wrong
thought
guess.
When he was saying in the movie. Yeah. He was like giving a hint by touching his tie. I thought like, huh? But no, I don't know what some of the incorrect answers were because I asked Brooks, our fabulous intern, to pick the winner.
I'm sure they're terrible.
Another Brooks approved winner.
Okay, that's good.
But as I was saying, there's always... a new chance to win on EGM Live. Every week we give you a new question, and this week's is in honor of the week's big release.
Question of the week.
Madden NFL 08. And as you know, we had special guest, the sports game guy from the Sports Anomaly podcast, our sister podcast. So this week's question is, name two of the chants made famous on our sister podcast, The Sports Anomaly. Don't give it away here. I know you're both dying to break out in these chants. And to give you some of the backstory, if you've listened to the Sports Anomaly, you will be able to answer this immediately.
Yeah.
If you have
your eardrums bleed.
If you have not yet listened, you should go to the 1UP Radio channel and download it. You can get that at podcast.1UP.com. And believe me, they have like five chants at least. And they break out in chants regularly during the podcast.
I think they speak in chants.
They speak in chants. They got in trouble for being too loud when they were taping the Sports Anomaly ones.
Yes.
And they do it not only during the podcast, but during the day, they just break out. Brian and Tahar, Greg Ford, and when Todd shows up. And even people who aren't on the Anomaly,
yelling,
as they call it.
The Anomaly.
Start chanting. So, to enter our Question of the Week contest, you go to egmliveblog.1up.com.
Oh, okay.
Send a personal message.
So, yeah, okay. So, all right, so go to... All right, so, yeah,
yeah, okay. Donahoe, pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
Send you a personal represent message. You represent the readers and listeners.
All right. Then what I do.
Subject line is 0813QOTW. What does that stand for?
Why can't I just put, like, I have the right answer, please send me a prize?
No,
I can't do that?
Fuck.
That's because not I go to those and right. go delete immediately.
Yeah. All right, cool. So, Q, K.
0813. Okay, QOTW.
QOTW, all right.
Dono, here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
We had to program Brooks specifically to look for these subject heads.
Yeah.
You can't have him be confused by.
That's very smart.
I have the right answer or R E. QOTW.
Yeah.
No, it's not Brooks's problem. It's that we have so many listeners and so many entries. We have to whittle them down somehow.
Yeah.
Oh, there it is.
Whittle okay. all the idiots like me.
I wanted to blame the intern, but that's okay.
No, I don't want to blame the intern. But anyway, name two of the chants made famous on the Sports Anomaly, and we will pick a winner from the correct answers randomly.
It's really hard for me to focus right now because all I've got is these stupid chants in
my
head.
Yeah, I know. It's hard. And I'm going to say... I think that...
should we eliminate one of the easy ones?
I think that USA, USA, which we just gave away, that was kind of like a hidden in plain sight thing.
I don't think USA is one of their chants, though.
They said that they used it today on this week's Anomaly.
Ah, so no but USA.
Well, USA is a gimme.
It is
okay?
A gimme.
No, but that's like a... That's kind of like a national... You know, like a worldwide channel.
Donahoe is totally missing.
You don't have to... You don't... you don't analyze.
I've been chanting USA since...
Sporters don't think about that kind of stuff. You know, did someone else say this before me? Am I being too loud? Should I not be saying this? Is this relevant at all? They don't care. They just chant. So... USA, USA is an example, but name two other chants.
If you use USA in the question of the week, you will not win.
Right? So,
and don't be confused by sayings versus chants.
Oh, the chants are easily identifiable.
They've got chants, they've got sayings.
This is not a question of semantics.
Excellent.
It's chants, and that's all there is to it.
It's when all three of them start... pounding the desk and saying the same thing over and over again. That's a chant.
Yeah. And this isn't just in honor of Madden coming out, but it's also because the Sports Anomaly is a fun podcast and you may not have listened to it already. So go check it out at podcast.1up.com and listen to their chants. Send us two of them to egmliveblog.1up.com and you will automatically be entered to win a prize that is chosen by Michael Donahoe. And sent out to our fabulous listeners. And I think that's it, right?
Yes.
Should we go out on a USA, USA? Can I get a...
USA! USA!
I love
USA.
America. Thanks for listening to EGM
Live. USA!
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 USA! USA! USA!